The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, hundreds of Irish authors are set to share a €1.3 billion settlement from Anthropic AI. The landmark case is the first of its kind taken against a tech giant. Anthropic was using books from online shadow library LibGen to train their large language models. Well, with me now is author of Penelope Unbound, Mary Morrissey, and Vanessa O'Loughlin, a.k.a. Sam Blake, founder of Murder One Festival and crime author. You're both very welcome to the programme. The case seemed to centre on LibGen, this so-called shadow library. Can you start, I suppose, Mary, by explaining what that is and why it mattered legally?
Oh, hi. Thank you for inviting me on the programme. Well, one of the problems with this whole situation is that authors are very much in the dark as to, you know, what shadow libraries are, what data mining is. In fact, I only discovered by chance that my work had been scraped by Anthropic. So, you know, we're coming very late to the party, I think, in terms of individual authors. But basically what Anthropic has done is have used copyrighted work to train AI bots without paying the authors, without even telling the authors that this has happened.
And how did you discover this yourself, Mary? You said it was by accident.
Well, it was by accident. A friend of mine, an author, said, oh, do you know about Anthropic and this claim? And I didn't. And he gave me a link and I went on the company site. And it was a, you know, sort of a group action taken against Anthropic by authors in the US. And, you know, one of the advantages is that, you know, you don't have to be part of the original claim to benefit from it. So I registered my work and apparently I might get some money out of it.
Well, let me bring in Vanessa there, because the settlement was for €1.3 billion. It's a huge amount, but there are many writers involved in this class action. How many will benefit? And do you have any sense of what the sums involved are?
The class action was taken by three authors in the US, as Mary so correctly says, but very much on behalf of other authors. It's authors who have books which are registered for US copyright post 2022. So it's quite a narrow sort of section of authors. And it's about 491,000 authors who are within this particular claim. In terms of what's been scraped by AI, and it's not just Anthropic for Claude, it's Meta, it's all of the others as well. We're actually looking at closer to sort of, I think it's 70 million novels and 80 million academic articles and works, sort of academic work. So it's an absolutely phenomenal number. In terms of the settlement itself, it's $3,000 per author, but they obviously have to have had, the work has to have been certified with the US Copyright Authority post 2022 in order to sort of fulfill those requirements. And so there are a lot of authors who might have a series of books that were published in America, but for whatever reason, the publisher perhaps has only registered one with the US Copyright Office. So it's not, it sounds like loads of money and everybody's going to walk away rich, but it really isn't. And so there's been headlines recently as well that Bloomsbury, for instance, are going to get 14 million as a result of the settlement, because the thing about the 3,000 is it's split between the publisher and the author. So the author, in fact, is only going to get $1,500.
One of the interesting aspects in this case is that the judge appeared to suggest, right, that AI training itself may qualify as fair use in the US if the books weren't pirated. Does that take some of the shine off here for you, Vanessa?
Well, I think the whole case is that it's a small step. There's a good bit of shine in the fact, the sense that the case has been taken and it's been found in the author's favour. But it's only one tiny step in an enormous mountain. In America, they have a fair use sort of clause that you're also able to take a class action in the States. So it's a very different legal landscape to the UK. There's lots of cases being looked at in the UK, but you know, it's going to be a while before they can move forwards, I think. And obviously taking on big tech is no walk in the park. So I think that's a really important thing, that it wasn't fair use. Do you mean they were pirated? They were stolen. Fair use involves payment, generally speaking. So it would, you know, it's not really. that's a non-answer, but it's So it's a small step, I suppose.
I suppose it is, as you say, a small step, but it's where this could potentially go, Mary, because the same arguments you think would eventually be able to apply to journalists or musicians or photographers, or even artists whose work has also been used or been scraped to train AI.
Well, yes. I mean, it's a precedent, and I think that's the important thing about it, not necessarily the amount of shekels you're going to get out of it. The idea that an AI company can use your work and steal your work, essentially, and use it to train AI bots who potentially could be there reproducing work like yours, you know, using your work. I mean, it's a 1984 scenario, really. There is indication that because of this precedent being set, other claims, particularly in the UK and in Europe, will be taken on the basis of this ruling. And, you know, the laws in Europe and the UK are different. I'm not sure what the position is about fair use legislation in Europe and the UK, but I think it's different to the US. The other point to be made is that there's nothing to stop other AI companies who are probably still doing this continuously because AI is so voracious. So the case is rewarding theft that has already happened, but it isn't a safeguard against it happening again, and it probably is happening right now as we speak.
It must have been really disheartening to see your hard work being used like this.
Well, I mean, I think used is the wrong word. I think stolen is the word. You know, it is, it's just banditry, you know. And, you know, it's very important in terms of artists and, you know, creators, musicians, writers. You know, the only authentic thing we have is our work, you know. And, you know, everybody else in the world gets paid for their work, and if their work is used, they are paid for it. And this absolutely rides roughshod over the principle that you provide work for somebody, or somebody uses your work, you get paid for it. I mean, there's a lot of bitching goes on in writing circles about, you know, publishers and advances and, you know, how you aren't paid enough. But at least there's a legal framework here. And if you send your work into a publisher and they sign you up, you get paid. You know, that's the basis of the whole transaction. Whereas here, it's so demeaning to find that your work is considered of so little value, although it has huge value in terms of the profits of these companies, that they don't tell you, they just take it.
All right, Mary Morrissey and Vanessa Fox O'Loughlin, thank you for joining us on that. And it will be interesting to see if that ruling in the United States will set off a wave of other actions against these companies in the future. We'll leave that there for now.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.